Daf Chof, Mishnah. It says in Mishnah, Matzah Igeris Shum. So we're talking about other types of documents that you find. These are documents that the Gemara is going to call Maisa Bezdin. So this is a document that Bezdin evaluated in the chasm of the loiva that the Malva could take it away, similar to what we had earlier. Vigeris Mazin, or a document that Bezdin Paskin, that someone is going to feed their children, normally their daughters, and he's going to feed them. So there's a document that expresses that. And you found it in the street. You don't know that it belongs to the Malva, the loiva, it belongs to the husband or to the family. Or Shtari Chalitza, a star that indicates that there was Chalitza had taken place. Or Miunin, someone did Miun, a woman, a girl who was married off, who was a yisayma, and therefore only her mother or brother can marry it off. The marriage is only drabanan, and we say at some point if she wants to refuse and walk out of the marriage, she's allowed to. So they have to write a shtar miun, which is like a, not really a shtar get, but it's more like a raya that actually a miun took place. Mishtari Biruin, we'll talk about in the Gemara exactly what that is, a different type of Shtar Bezdin. So V'chol Maisa Bezdin, any other Maisa Bezdin, this is what we discussed earlier in the parak, what exactly this statement here is of V'chol Maisa Bezdin. If you hold your Loichashin on the Piroin, then it would be anything which we know was a real document, that was any Shtar, a Shtar Choyv, that was approved by Bezdin. If you hold Chashin on the Piroin, then we said this is referring to a document which Bezdin said that the Malva could take away from the life of different Nechosim. So all these things, Areza Yachser, all these things you could give them back to the owner of them, because again, there's no chashin lepiroyin. It's not a question of did they actually occur or not. We know that for sure occurred. Nobody write these documents says they actually occurred. And in this case, we have nothing to worry about. As we said before, there's no chashin lepiroyin, or in these cases, no chashin lepiroyin, and therefore you can give them back to the malve or to the person who the document is for the benefit of. Matzah bechafisa abidaluskama. If you find these documents or other documents, but you find them in a certain type of kli, we'll see in the Gemara exactly what type of kli we're talking about. But these are kalim which would have some sort of simen on it already. As we move towards the next perek and Hilchas and Elul Metzias, so already starting to talk about the halachas of simanim, and when you find things which have a simen on them, or there's an indication that they were there, or tachrich shel shtaris, we'll see exactly what this is referring to. But it's a group of shtaris that are together. Oh yeah, gudah shel shtaris. We'll have to define in the Gemara what the difference between tachrich and aguda is. So in all these cases, we say hareze yachser. Rashi says clearly the davar sheyesh by simenu, the mefarish megillah. There's something that has a simen on it. Shakli simen kishiyam rabbanim bekli kach v'kach matzasei some. He's going to talk tell you how many there are or what type of kli it is. So it doesn't mean you return it. Stop. This is if one of the sides can give you a simen, and that's an indication that it dropped from them, then you could give it back to them. So this is on top of the halachas we discussed, chashin l'piroyin, lechashin l'piroyin, all these different types of halachas. But if the particular documents or whatever it is was found in a way that one of the sides in the equation can identify them based on these various simanim, which we'll start to discuss in the Gemara, then that's an indication that it's theirs and you can give it back to them. The kama aguda shel shtaris, how many need to be here in the aguda? Shel shloisha, you have to have a minimum of three. We'll see why. Kishur and zebazer, that they have to be tied to each other. Again, we'll discuss in the Gemara exactly what this looks like. Shengamliel points out another point. It's not clear if the Tana Kama argues on him or not. He doesn't discuss this. Rabbi Shengamliel says, Echad haloiva mishloisha yachser laloiva. If you find three shtaris together, and they're all written that Reuven borrowed money. One Reuven borrowed from Shimon, one Reuven borrowed from Levi, one Reuven borrowed from Yehuda. And they're all together. Well, that sort of would indicate that they're all Reuvens. Why are three shtaris owned by three different malvas together, if not the fact that they actually belong to the laloiva? It's the opposite. If you have a bunch of shtaris that Reuven lent money to three different people and they're all together, that's again an indication that Reuven the Malva lost those shtaris. We'll see more of the details. Matzah shtar bein shtar reisav. If you're going through your documents, right, going through your filing drawers or your Google Drive or whatever it is, wherever you have your documents nowadays, and you find a document, v'en yadua mativoi, and you don't know what this is, and this is not your shtar, this is a shtar between the Malva and the Loiva, and now it's a question of who gave it to you and was the loan actually paid off. You are not a party in this discussion at all. You're just a third party. And obviously either the Malva or the Leiva gave you the shtar to hang on to. You don't know which one it is. So in that case, so you don't know. Was it fully paid off? Was it not paid off? Rashi says maybe it was partially paid off. Sometimes they would do that. When they partially paid off a shtar, then they'd give it to a shlish. They'd give it to a third party to hold an escrow. So you don't know. And there's no documentation. In which case, which obviously means you have to wait until someone can prove one way or the other what the halacha would be. So this is a totally different halacha, not connected to the previous halacha. Rashi says, mili, mili, katani, this is a new halacha, which is, if a malva is going through his documents, And in his pile of documents, we'll see where he finds them in the Gemara. He finds a document that says that one of the loans that's outstanding to him was paid off. Simpun is a lashon of a mum, Rashi says. Anything which cancels something is called a simpun. And therefore, he finds a document that says that one of the documents that he has somewhere else that says that someone owes him money is really not true. Is it not true, or he paid him off, or the document he doesn't really owe the money? So is this real? Is it not real? Was it actually a document? Did he write it, but it never actually occurred? So the halacha says the Mishnah, in Yeshiva and Simpunis, Yaseh Mashim Simpunis. You assume that this document is truthful, and therefore the Malva can no longer collect on the loan that this particular Simpun is reflecting. What exactly are the details? Hold on, the Gemara will explain. Piece by piece through the Mishnah. So we said in the Mishnah, we talked about the Igeres Shum, Igeres Mazin, Shtari Chalitza, Shtari Miyun, and those we understand what they are. What is a Shtari Beruin? My Shtari Beruin? Socher Tagimar Shtari Tanosa. It's like a lawyer's document where they have all their different tainas that they write on. It's not really an important document in terms of Chashim Mishpat, just where they wrote their notes, it sounds like. So then obviously you give it back to whoever seemed to have written it. If you remember Zebar Loyachim, Zebar Lechet, this is what we call a Zabla, right? When you go to Bezdin and each person chooses one Dayan, and then each of those Dayanim choose a third Dayan, so this is the document which reflects their choosing of this different Dayanim. That thing, of course, so you're going to be Machzir. There's no reason not to be Machzir. The Chol Maisa Bezdin Amei Ziyachse. And then we said in the Mishnah again, any Maisa Bezdin, which we discussed earlier in the Perek, exactly what that's referring to. And here the Gemara brings the story we had earlier with a little twist. Hugita, there was a Get Isha. The Ishtakach Beidin and Rav Huna, that was found by Rav Huna's Bezdin. Remember, we said Rav Huna's Bezdin was considered a Makum, Sheshayoros Mitzuyas. There's a lot of people coming in and out of there all the time. Daviksiv Bein Tzenet Bishivriir Masa Dal Rechis Nara. It was written for a certain couple that lived in a certain city next to Rechis Nara. Some Rav Huna said, and again, it wasn't clear if he paskin this or if he just gave it up as an option, Chashina L'Shnei Shvir, that maybe we have to be Chashish, that it's not the couple that came in now that wants this document, this get, maybe it was some other couple that lost it, and therefore it's not theirs, it's not the Shema, they have to write another one, etc. So I'm going to have Chista the Rabbi. Rav Chista said to the Rabbi, Puk Ayin, go investigate this halacha. Rav Huna wants you to investigate it, and he wants you to give your chavazdas on what the psak should be. Nafak Dak Ashkach. So Rabbi investigated and he found our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Maisa Bezdin Areza Yachzir. That anything which is a Maisa Bezdin, which doesn't have a Cheshinim Pirayin, etc. We discussed earlier why you don't have a Cheshinim Pirayin by such a get, because when you give it, you're going to ask exactly when the date on it was, so you don't have to worry about collecting Velikuchas, etc. But generally speaking, Areza Yachzir. You're not worried about the other point of Shnei Yesup and Shimon, etc. And we discussed earlier that Rabbi then said it depends. You have to have both points, Sheiros Mitzuyas and Shnei Yisub and Shimon, etc. That was the sugi before. So Rav Amar LeRabba, so Rav Amar asked him a more simple question to Rabbi. He says, Hey, Chiposhim Mari, Surma Malayna. He said, we're talking here about Get Isha. That's Isha's Ish. You're bringing a raya from a Mishnah Bo Metzia. Mishnah Bo Metzia is Cheshim Mishpat Halachas. Where do you get a right to paskin something based on a Yisoid we have in Dinei Cheshim Mishpat to something in Dinei Isha's Ish? So Rabbi responded to him, Tarda. Rashi says Tarda. Over here, Rashi has Mishumam, which we would normally translate as boring. Some people translate it as lazy. Or there's this same word, Tarda, is used in a few different insults in Shas. Use this type of word. What?
Lunatic.
Because Rashi over here doesn't say that. Rashi over here says Mishumam sounds like more boring. Rashi in other places when this particular insult is used says lunatic or Eino Bardas or something like that. Different Rishonim have used different types of insults to translate this word, but he said, "Fool, shtari chalitza miyun tanan." Our Mishnah talks about shtari chalitza and miyun, so this is clearly not just a chush and mishpat halacha. Chalitza and miyun for sure, and chalitza also. We consider those also davar shebe'erva, and if they're davar shebe'erva, they would have the same halacha as a regular get. And if this works for a get, this works for this works. If this works for chalitza, it works for a get. And therefore, it's the same exact halacha. Okay, so this was the discourse that was going on in the Beis Medrash. Poka Arza de Beirav. So then that afternoon, the shtender, one of the shtenders or one of the amudim, the pillars in the shul in the Beis Medrash, cracked and fell down. So of course, as good Jews, we take that as a simon min hashamayim. But as also as good Jews, everybody takes it as a simon to support their side. Okay? So ma rabba mishum la sa di poka. It's because of me that it broke because you insulted me Right? So one says, no, it's because you questioned me. The other one says, because you insulted me. So it sounds like each one was taking his own side. The Marsha says the opposite. Yeah. The Marsha says that it means that each one was saying it's because I didn't treat you nicely. I didn't treat you nicely, that's why it happened. So maybe that each one was taking it more personally than a Pashup Shat sounds like in the Gemara.
I didn't know how to Paskan.
Ken, say that. Also, good. So says the Gemara. So that was a discussion by Shtari Best. We then said, moving on, if you find something that has a simin on it, we said, if you find the pechafisa or bedeluskama, what are these things? My chafisa, I'm a rabbi barchana, chamas ketana, some sort of small basket or bag. Rashi shel or was made out of leather, and there was what we would call like a backpack of some sort. What is the deluskama? My deluskama, I'm a rabbi shmo, tlika disabi. Rashi has taska, she's a kainim at seeing by klita shmishan. Yeah, okay, whatever. So they have some sort of little bag, a little fanny pack or whatever they call it, so the people would wear, so they can don't have to look after all their stuff. Either way, the point is it's some sort of kli that people would have a simon on it, and therefore, regardless of the fact if you have a simon on the whether you can identify the shtar or not, because we're not sure, but if you can identify the kli itself, that would be a raya that it's yours. Then the Mishnah gets a little tricky. It says something about a group of shtaris together. Kama you tachrich shel shtaris shloisha. So you have three shtaris kruchin ze beze. So you have three shtaris that are kruchin ze beze that are tied together. The kama agudish shel shtaris. What's an agudish shtaris? Shloisha kashurin ze beze. So it's three that are kashur ze beze. Rashi says, look in Rashi. Kruchen ze beze, vezehu simin shabadim noismehem, ze yachmiz metziya shtaris matzatzi. I found a bunch of shtaris. Vezeyemer shalihem, vishloishahem, kruchen ze beze. So you say both points. You say, I found the number that I found. He says, I found shtaris. He says, yes. How many? What kind of simin can you give me? Well, I lost three of them, and they were tied together in this sort of fashion. So it says, mosh, mamina, kesher simin. Lechari says, the one in the havamina, that if you're already saying you found shtaris and you're already finding all that, so what is the simon you're giving? Must be the simon is the type of knot that you made on it. The fact that they're tied together in the Gemara Havamina says is not the point. The point is the type of knot that you made. You're a Boy Scout, and you make these various kind of fancy knots, and if I can make a slip, eight knot, I don't know, whatever these different things are, that's the way you can identify it. And that is actually a shayla we'll see in the next parak, whether a kesher, a different type of kesher, is considered enough of a unique item to make it a simon or not. So the chayla we have a riot is, no, that when it said kruchin and agudin, they were the same thing. It wasn't a question of knots. It wasn't a question of kashur. They were all folded together, same. No knots involved. So now, what's the difference between tachrich and aguda? If we assumed aguda was some kind of knot, and here we seem to see that's all folded together, just rolled up. Says Mar, I'll explain the difference. Tachrich kochad v'chad b'roisha dechavrei, aguda derami adodi v'kruchas. In one of them, you actually line them up and you roll them up like in a roll, it sounds like, together. And the other one, they're rolled up on top of each other. You put the three pieces of paper down and then you roll them up together. Okay, so whether you roll them up long, it sounds like longer like a Megillah of some sort, or if you roll them one on top of each other, so that would be what the difference between tachrich and aguda is. Says the Gemara, Shloisha kruchim b'zeh b'zeh, hanu tachrich, tachrich kochad v'chad b'roisha d'chavrei, aguda d'rami adodi v'kruchas. So then my machris. So then when you go to announce that you found them, what do you announce? Says the Gemara, minyan. So then maybe you announce that you say you found them, and the guy has to come and identify how many there were. So says the Gemara, so the Maria Tlasa, if you'll train Nabi, so why do you have to have three? Right, if you're going to say it was somehow kashur to the tying of it, fine. But if you're saying it's nothing to do with the kashur of the tying, you can roll them up or you can pile them on top of each other. So why can't the person say I lost two? Why does he have to say dafka three? Says my Ella Kedamra Ravina Tiva Machris Hachanami Shtare Machris. The answer is because you already announced that you found multiple shtaris. You say shtarois lashon rabbit, and therefore if someone comes and says they lost two, that itself is not a simon because the minimum number of shtaris is always going to be two. So he has to say, now Rashi points out, the way Rashi explains the sugya at the end is, you are still going to have to say both points. A, how many shtaris you lost, and you're going to have to say that they were kruchin this way or the other way. So you need both. Why exactly you need both? We'll have to wait until the next parak to see why exactly you need both. But Rashi seems to indicate over here that you need both A to say the number. So now, if you actually lost two shtaris, not exactly sure what you do. right? Because then this is not going to be a good way to identify that they're yours, because you, the most you could say is how they're folded. You can't say the number, because the number doesn't mean anything, because the guy already announces that he found shtaris. So you're going to have to find some other way to identify them. The number two itself is not going to be. Now, again, we'll see much more about this when we get into Elam and Tzias. Shingam Leo Leimer, Echad Aleiv Mishalosh Yachse Aleiv. Shingam Leo says that it depends if you found them all from the same person, one side or the other, you give it back to that person. So I'm going to explain to you why. In this case, we found them all three from the Leiva. The Malveninu, if they were all really supposed to be by the Malve, right, three different Malvas, my bo gabe adodi, then why are these three stars together? If Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, so, and Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda lost these stars, why are they all together? It doesn't make any sense. It's more indication that they were from Levi. So what I mean, Dimala community awesome. Maybe they got them all together and sent them with one shliach to Bezdin to be Mekayim the stars. And therefore, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda wanted to collect with these stars, so they sent them for Kiyum to Bezdin, and it was one shliach who was bringing them to Bezdin. He lost all three. Why is that necessarily an indication that they're Reuven's? Sends them to Mekayim. You're right. If they were not Mekuyim yet, then it could be they were on the way to Bezdin to be Mekuyim, and then you don't have a raya that they belong to Reuven. Here we're specifically talking about they already had a Kiyum on them. If they already had a Kiyum on them, then there's no reason they should all be together. Some Dimma Biyadah the Safra Nafal. Maybe they fell from the Sefer himself. Some Aloy Mashai Inish Kiyum Biyadah the Safra. So we have to assume 2 points, as Rashi explains. A, that people, once it's Mekuyim, they take it back right away. They don't wait for it to end. And you also have to assume like Bezdin or the Shliach on the way back didn't drop them of some sort. The Gemara is assuming definitely if he dropped them on the way to Bezdin, maybe. But on the way back from Bezdin, people would get them back from them right away, and therefore you have no chashash, and therefore the assumption is if they're Mekuyim and all three together from three different Malvas, it must be they're from the Leif. And the opposite side of the coin as well. If you have three different levers with a single malva, so Shingam Leo said, then yachsel a malva. Again, as the Gemara explains, the sakadaitre to loveninu, if they belong to the leva, my bar gabe adadi. Why are three different levers stars together? Must be in its indication they're really from the malva. Says the madimal mechtavinu azli, maybe they were actually going to write them, and they sent a shliach to get these three stars written. So the mechtu etlasi adadi safri, it's three different seifrim. If they're three different seifrim, it's clearly not going to one location, to one target, and to one seifer, and therefore there's no reason they should be together. Vadimal the community azli, maybe they're on the way to Bezdin, as we just said, to be Mekuyim. So here, the previous answer we said was talking about, well, they're already Mekuyim. Here you don't have to say that. Malva Mekayim Shtori. Loivele Mekayim Shtori. If they're all three together and ready Mekuyim, hafuch, that's more of a raya that it belongs to the Malva, because the Loivele is not trying to be Mekayim the Shtar, that's working against him. It's the Malva who's always trying to be Mekayim the Shtar. Now we get to the tricky halacha at the end of the Mishnah, which is, Yeshimon Simpoinus, Yasim Ashim Simpoinus. If a Malva finds within his Shtoris some piece of paper which indicates that one of the loans that's outstanding to him was already paid, a simpon, a mum in the loan, he has to respect that, and we treat it as truthful. Says the Gemara, before we get to the halacha, the Gemara goes to another halacha, and we'll come back. So Rav said the following halacha. Simpon ha-yoytze mitachas yad malva, yidei malva, if you have such a shtar like this, which the malva finds, avo bishakos b'ksav yodei, even though it's written in his own handwriting, einu elek mesachek upasol. We assume the malva was just either playing around or practicing or something like that, but it's not real. And it doesn't really indicate that he's being moide, that one of the shtaris is possible, and you could ignore the simpon. Seems to be not like our Mishnah, obviously. The Mishnah says you have to take it seriously. Even if it was written not by the Malva, but it was written by a Sefer, then you could say that what happened, the Malva knew that he's going to collect his money. And he said, look, I know in the town where I'm going to collect my money, there's no Sefer over here, and the guy's going to want a receipt or something like that. So I'm going to have a receipt written now, and I'll take it with me. And when he pays me, I'll give him the receipt for whatever reason. Maybe it was a Malva Alpea, or maybe he didn't have the shtar to give it, whatever reason. And then it's very possible that the Malva already printed the receipt out before the loan was actually paid off. Okay. Even if, as Rashi says, the Malva himself is literate, and the Malva can write a note. So in this case, why would he write it earlier? Right? Just wait till the Leiva pays you and then write it. from the fact that he wrote it, that's somewhat of an indication that it's truthful, still it's possible. Why, says Rav? Maybe the Levi is going to come pay me back right before Ben Hashmashas, Erev Shabbos. If I don't give him the receipt, and therefore he's not going to pay me back, and I want to make sure he pays me back at any opportunity. And therefore, Echtavano, I will go now and write the receipt, pre-write it, I can pay him up. So even whether it's written by a cipher, whether the Melville wrote it on his own, either way, says Rav, we have no reason to assume that this receipt, which is fine by the Malva, remember, a receipt should not be by the Malva. The receipt should be, all things being equal, by the Leiva. For the fact that it's by the Malva, that's an indication to us that it's a joke and it's not real, and the Malva does not have to respect it, and even if we find out about it, the Leiva does not have, there's no proof from that whatsoever. It's not our Mishnah. The Mishnah clearly says that exactly this case, if you find such a star, you have to assume it's truthful. So it's exactly not like Rav. What does Rav do with the Mishnah? So the Makadam Rav Safra, Kshenimtza ben Shtoreis Kru'uin. That which the Mishnah says that you have to respect it is when he founds it ben Shtoreis Kru'uin. Rashi brings two pshatim on what this is. We'll go to the second pshat in Rashi. Second pshat in Rashi says the Malva has two folders, two desk drawers. And one of them he has all the stars that he's going to collect. And one of them he has everything that he ripped up that he doesn't need anymore. This simpan he finds in the drawer of everything that's ripped up. If it's everything that's ripped up, that's an indication that he doesn't need it. That merely means belongs to the Leiva. Look in Rashi. Rashi says it's about four lines down the wide lines. V'linira shenimtza shayver ben shtaris kruin hilkach ikal memesh in eskabel achayv. It's truthful. V'ashayver hazeh eino tzorech lemalva hazeh elo leleiva. The Malva put it with his ripped stars because he doesn't need this. He could care less about this receipt. So what's it doing here? The Leiva forgot to pick it up. The Malva, at the end of the deal, the Malva was cleaning up his house and he found the Leiva's receipt. He said, all right, whatever. And he threw it into his bad drawer, not the good drawer. And therefore, the Malva why would the Malva have put it in the drawer with the ripped up stars? For the fact that the Malva put it in the drawer with the ripped up stars, that's an indication he doesn't need it anymore. And if he doesn't need it anymore, that's an indication that it actually does belong to the Leiva. So Rav Svar, that you can ignore this document, is only when the Malva is keeping it in a safe place. If the Malva is keeping it in a safe place, that's an indication the Malva has not yet used it yet, and still he wants it, so he's keeping it safe. But if he's in a not safe place, with his ripped up stars near the garbage, that's an indication that it actually belongs to the Leiva, and then we have to respect what it says in that simpan, and that's what halacha of our Mishnah is. Says the Gemara, okay, let's try to bring other rayas in this thing. Tashma, nimtza le'echad ben shtaroysev, shtaroy shel Yosef ben Shimon parua. So he finds in his documents that one of the outstanding loans he has to someone named Yosef ben Shimon is paid up. Now the problem is there's two Yosef ben Shimons in the town. Okay, so the Gemara Basar Rashi brings over here explains that you have to have, if you ever want to write a document for that someone owes you money, and the Leiva who owes you money, his name is Yosef ben Shimon, and there's two Yosef ben Shimons in the town, you have to make sure to write three generations. Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, or whatever it is. You have to write the grandfather's name, assuming they don't have three generations, or whatever it is, to indicate which one is the one who owes the money, otherwise you're never going to be able to collect. Because when you go to collect from Yosef ben Shimon Aleph, he's going to tell me, you know, it's not me, it's him. Fine. So you have a proper Shtar Chayv written. But now you found this simpun, which just says Yosef ben Shimon. Okay, so you don't know which one it is. This one doesn't say, the Shever doesn't say the three generations. So Nimzalech, Ben Shereis, Shereb, Yosef ben Parua, Shtoreh, Shnei, and Parua. So you can't collect from anyone. It's because you have Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov owes you 100 shekel. Yosef ben Shimon ben Zvulun owes you 300 shekel. Then you find the Stam Yosef ben Shimon star that says it's paid off. But it doesn't say which one of those is paid off. The halacha is you have to respect that simpon, you have to respect the receipt, and you cannot collect from either one of them. Again, that sounds not like Rav. That sounds like our Mishnah. Again, we're going to have the same teretz that's talking about where the Malva was not caring about this shtar. If the Malva was not caring about it, that's an indication it's a truthful shtar. Tashma, when Yisaimim are collecting from Yisaimim. So normally whenever you collect from Yisaimim, the father dies and he owes money to a Malva. So the Malva has to swear that he did not collect the money when the father was alive, and then he could collect from the Yisaimim. What happens if the Malva also died? So now it's Yisaimim collecting from Yisaimim. So neither one is really sure what's going on in the deal, because you know, it's their father's business. So then they make the following shvua. Shvua shelo pokdanu abba. We make a shvua that your father never gave us any sort of mashkim. V'shelo yarmolanu abba. Our father did not tell us it was paid off. And v'shelo matzanu ben shtaris of shelo abba shtaris de perua. We didn't find any simple like this in our father's shtaris that said that your father's deal, your father was paid off. So you see, they're making a shvua on a simple. You see, a simple is something, if they did find it, they would have to respect it. And again, all they're saying is, we swear we didn't find it in the ripped up stars. If they found it in the regular stars, they could ignore it. But if they found it in the ripped up stars, then they would have to respect it. So they had to make a shvua that they did not find it there. Tashma. You have an interesting halacha. Simpon sheyeshul of edim. If you have a receipt like this that you find with edim, yiskayim bechaysomav. All you have to do is prove that prove that the edim are proper edim. And if you prove the edim are proper edim, then you have to respect it. That's not what we said. We said that you can ignore it. That was Rav's whole point. Depending on where you find it, it says my ema yiskayim mechaymosef. Change the be to me. What does that mean? That shaylin lenesadi. You have Adam signed on the document. But that doesn't mean that it really happened. As we said, it could be the Malva pre-wrote it, so it should be available to him to give to the lever when he needs to. So what you do is you try to find the Adam, and you try to find out what exactly are they signing on. E perua, ilai perua. You actually ask them. Go. So the fact that there's a document in this case is not enough. Again, maybe it's Nimsa Ben Shnois of Karu, and that might be. But over here it says you stand because of it means if you can, talk to the Adam. Ask the Adam what they say. Tashma, we have another brisa. Simpun sheish levedim is kosher. You see, it's kosher. It means you have to respect it. It doesn't say where you found it or anything. So my edim, edei kiyum. Now it says edim doesn't mean edim who signed on it. It means that you brought this document to Bezdin, and Bezdin wrote a hempik. Bezdin wrote a stempel on it, what we call like a notary. Bezdin doesn't do a notary on a document unless they're 100% sure that it's truthful. You can pre-write the receipt, and you can have edim written, sign that pre-write receipt. But Bezdin's not going to stamp that receipt unless they know it was actually paid off. So if you find such a document, then there's no question. You have to respect it, and the levit does not going to be forced to pay. It says, Hakan Amistava. That actually makes sense. Midiktani Sefer says the end of the Braisa, V'she'enel of Edim is puzzle. And what does that mean? My enel of Edim. Ilem of the luck of Edim, klal, tzvichel, memory. If there's no Edim signed on it whatsoever, and there's no ksav yodei of the Malva, then of course this document is worthless. You would never respect it if it has no Edim. Tzvichel, memory, the puzzle, elav edekium. It means the question is, do you have edekium on it? If you have edekium on it, meaning that Bezdin approved the shtar, then of course it's truthful and the Malva cannot collect from the Leiva. If you don't have edekium, then we said it depends where the Malva found it, whether you have to trust it or not. One more piece. Gufo. Going back to that price. Simpon sheish levedim iskayim bechaysomav, which we said doesn't mean iskayim bechaysomav, which means iskayim mechaysomav, that you have to ask the edim if it was paid or not. Eino levedim, what if there's no edim? V'yotze mitachas yidei shlish. What if a third party finds the receipt? So it wasn't by the malva, it wasn't by the leiva. We said being by the leiva, fine. Being by the malva is questionable. Why does the malva have a receipt that really belongs to the leiva? In this case, it was found by a third party. How did it get to the third party? Where did it come from? It was a clear star, it was written, it was signed. Or on the shtar chayv itself. The shtar chayv itself says, Ruven Oshim and Mani, Bababa, Sam Be'edim. And then after that, a little nun bet, nichtav dab, but see, by the way, it was paid off. Is that enough? So Yatzach HaShichim Shtar is kosher. The simpon is kosher, and we assume the shtar is paid off. So let's go through each one. Yatzach Mitach is the shlish, Tahem Dei Mavel the shlish. How did this document get to a third party? If he gave it to a third party, if the Leiva gave it to a third party, then of course it's paid off. Elamai, you're going to say a Malva gave it to the third party. So if the Malva gave it to a third party, he's trusting the third party. And if the third party tells us that it was really paid off, he's believed. And as the Berachah Hanan here says, it's a migu. Believe me when I tell you it was paid off, because if I wanted to, I could just give it to the Leiva directly. And if the Leiva adds it, of course it's paid off. So if it's in a third party, and the third party tells us that he knows it actually was actually paid off and used, then you believe him. Yotzalach ishtichim shtaris, if it's actually written in the shtar itself, the shtar choiv, nami, dilav depari lavimara lishtar. Right? No one's going to write a non-effective receipt in the shtar chayv itself. That wouldn't make any sense. If you want to pre-write a receipt and keep it in your other shtars, that's one thing. But to pre-write a receipt on the shtar chayv itself makes no sense, and therefore clearly if it's written there, then it's going to be an effective thing. So even though Rav said, we don't trust this thing, we don't trust the simpon that you found, maybe the Malva was just joking around, there aren't many cases where you do. A, if it's found ben shtaris karun, you trust it. If it's yotze mitachas shlish, you trust it. If it's going to be written on the shtar itself, you trust it. So there are a number of different cases, or if it has a henpik from Bez, Gezdin. Also you trust it. So Rav's halach that you don't trust the receipt really depends on all these various things. Hadar and halach, Shnayim, Oysim.